I'm Colby
Welcome
Mon.
To the Bring the Heat podcast. I'm Brian.
I'm Ethan
Schilling.
Altschul.
And I'm Max McDermott.
Well, today is the Super Bowl edition of the Bring the Heat podcast playoff picking game series.
Finale?
Colon,
yes, sure.
Finale.
The grand finale.
So, I mean, 2 weeks ago was the conference championships, obviously. Do we just want to...
Yeah, sure.
A little bit like we have done previously? Before
no,
did
no.
anybody watch anything of the
I
World
literally
World
could
World?
Not care less.
Because I
was it on like Madden or something?
I have it was on Madden, but I was planning
I,
on tuning in.
I didn't even know what it
was.
Like,
yeah,
honest.
I think getting it even happened is kind of a testament to how important the Pro Bowl is, especially when it isn't actually being played. It's not a game that people care about.
Exactly.
There's no interesting things that happen in it. Like I've never really seen the point in watching it.
Yep. Matt, did you watch it at all?
Nope.
Yes. There you go. All right, in-depth analysis on the Pro Bowl.
There you go, guys. It's a
media podcast, like providing you the forefront of sports analysis and commentary as we watch and analyze all the games, as you can see. Yes, that.
Yes. Okay, now to the games that people actually care about. Buccaneers-Packers was the first game. The Buccaneers won this one 31-26.
Yeah.
This was at Lambeau. So, 2 weeks ago, we were talking about how you like can't bet against any of the four QBs remaining in the playoffs. Then, after the podcast, I started thinking about it, and I was like,
a good
is there
point.
A rule that you
I mean,
can't bet against
you've
Aaron
seen
Rodgers?
Tons again.
Yeah.
Sorry, you go.
Because.
Yeah. I guess in the NFC Championship game you really can bet against him. Just for all the ones he's lost.
But Brian.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers is a bad man.
I. What?
Huh?
The Packers offense did not show up when it had to. They had opportunities in the second half. Brady threw three interceptions. But the Packers offense just couldn't capitalize. Obviously, there was the really, really weird play call at the end of the game where first Rodgers didn't run it where I thought he had a lane. He obviously didn't. And then LaFleur decided to kick a field goal when they were down 8 with like, I think it was slightly over 2 minutes or was it
over?
Once again, this was 2 weeks ago. So let's start off with that.
Man, I don't think it's a terrible choice there. It's what, 4th and 10? It was 4th and long.
Was it 4th and 10?
The chances of converting that aren't huge. They had already failed a 2-point conversion, I believe, earlier in the game. Yeah, I mean, still, it's just
yeah, but
it's
just a conversion,
and I think, I think there, you get the field goal, you get a stop, and get the ball back, and clearly LaFleur had confidence in his defense that was misplaced, or he's got lucky. I don't think it's a terrible choice there. Be safe, take points, get the ball back. I doubt it changes very much. So I'm okay with it. For me, it wasn't like the game that lost, like the play that lost in the game. I think that was this Packers offense just stalling out, drive and drive again.
Yeah.
Ethan, I think I strongly disagree. What's the point of kicking the field goal? I mean, what's the point?
Well, to avoid 2-point conversion.
You literally still have to score a touchdown.
Here's my problem with it, though. There were only slightly over 2 minutes left. And by the time that the Bucs get stopped on their drive and then you get the ball back, I don't think that there's time to feasibly put your faith in it. I think at that point, you have about the same odds of converting that 4th down.
I don't understand why they did it, though. Because if they got stopped, they still had 3 timeouts and they could have just stopped them up there and then
you
still have to get the 2-point conversion. He's avoiding that risk at the end of the game.
Yeah, here. In my opinion,
it's the playoffs. You take the
when you cross into 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter, I feel like that is going on it in fourth down zone. Like, especially when you're down like they were and they really needed that touchdown. It boosts their confidence, it boosts their momentum, and it shows them, it gives them more of a chance than a field goal.
I mean, I haven't looked at it. Sorry, Brian. I haven't looked at it, like, mathematically. I don't think it changes that much.
No,
you know? I mean, what are your chances of, A, converting on that fourth and eight, and then, B, getting that two-point conversion? I would be surprised if it changes their chance to win that game by very much.
Yeah. I understand why they did. I just disagree with the decision.
Don't understand why they did it.
And then there was the play before that where Rodgers, I thought he had a lane.
Feel like that's the stupidest thing. Sorry to interrupt, but like, Rodgers thought he had four chances. So if you're Rodgers, you didn't want to pick up like 3 yards and like get stopped because Rodgers thought he had like, you go end zone there because you're trying to, but like, if he only got, like, 2 or 3 yards, it really wouldn't have made a difference.
Here's my thing, though. Rodgers, it sounded like after the game that he thought that they were going to go for it on fourth.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, picking up 2 to 3 yards could actually really help you.
No, two to three yards would have not helped as much, in my opinion. You take the two shots. You take the two shots at the end zone. Because that's one less shot to win the game.
But I think that he had a shot to win the game on that play.
No, I don't think he did. Because if you look at the previous plays, he was getting outrun by the Tampa Bay's defensive line, like when he got out of the pocket. I'm pretty sure someone was like right to his left a couple of feet, and there was like two people. So I feel like he could have picked up like 3 yards, like 3 yards ish. But like, I feel like you just go for the touchdown at that point.
I personally think I don't know if he should have run that because kind of like Max said, you know, that's another shot at the end zone. And even I feel like when you look at that, the linebackers, I mean, he had a little bit of a lane, but I don't think he could have really taken it to the house. I think that the linebackers might have been able to outrun him and, you know, get him down before he reached the zone.
Yeah, I'm pulling up the play right now.
It was a while ago, so I don't really 100% remember, but if I'm remembering it right.
Yeah, turned his ankle Brian.
He might have had something behind him, but I think minimum he would have gotten to the 3 or 4 yard line. And converting from the 3 or 4, especially with the pass that he threw it to a guy that was double covered. Cross body double into double coverage.
Was it Davante Adams or no?
It was Adams, but he was double covered. Yeah. It was a low ball, so it's not like it was a jump ball or anything.
I saw an alternative angle of it after the game, like closer like behind Rodgers, and it seemed like there was not a lane at all, like when you view it from that angle, and so I'm pretty confident saying he wouldn't have reached the end zone, but the real question is what's better, taking those 3 yards or throwing that pass? Maybe it's the 3 yards. I'm not sure. But in the heat of the moment, to expect Aaron Rodgers to make the decision, you know, not that big a difference, to be honest. It's kind of ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't blame him either way.
That's the thing to remember. We are looking at this with 2 weeks of hindsight. My opinion, though, is, and this is just my personal mindset, is if you're in four-down territory, you should use the third down to set yourself up for your fourth-down play.
I disagree on that because I think you should take as many shots in the end zone as possible.
Yeah, to maximize that's just your chances. Different philosophies, right? I mean,
that's my.
I think both make sense. If you have a chance, go for it. But if not, be safe and just take those yards. Clearly, Rodgers thought he had a chance. He thought he had Adams open. He didn't. Oh well, right? But yeah, I don't fault him here for that loss.
Yeah, I agree with that.
The Packers' run game wasn't the Bucks wasn't super effective, but they did have a big four net run in the first quarter, I want to say. Yeah. And then Brady, he played great the first half and bad the second half. Or I should say worse the second half, right?
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly. I know that one of his halves was better than his other.
You are correct. But, I mean, for me, this game illustrates that, like, the box score for players isn't that important, right? If we compare Tom Brady and Rodgers, 280 yards, three touchdowns, three picks, to 346 yards, three touchdowns, one pick. You would expect the Rodgers stat line to win and Brady's to lose, especially when both teams don't have a run game, right? Obviously, it didn't happen. That's because I think Brady made the plays when he needed to. He had, like, the long drive and scored, whereas Aaron Rodgers and the Packers sputtered out more.
Yeah.
That also, Brady was smarter, if that makes sense, because I can think of at least one of his picks. It was a third down, and he threw it deep.
Right.
And they, like, weren't in field goal range or anything. So I'm sure his mindset was like, okay, well, if I throw an interception, we would have just punted the next play anyway. Yeah. So it doesn't.
And if we catch it, personally do not accredit Brady too much with that win, especially since he threw like three picks in the third and fourth quarter and gave him three straight opportunities for the Packers to come back and really make the game close. I really credit it more to the defense just for shutting the Packers down and holding them to the 26 points while allowing the offense to, you know, do their thing and get the 31.
It's a funny world we live in where you can hold a team to 26 points and say you held them, you know? I mean, that's not a small number for a football team.
Yeah, no, it's not. And I was doing that.
I mean, partly yes, but also when you look at how explosive these two offenses specifically are. I mean, you look at the divisional round, no losing team, I should say, scored over 20 points. Mm-hmm. So offense is definitely better, but the four teams that we had 2 weeks ago were some of the best offensive teams in the league. So, but next game was Bills.
I can start this. This for me was one of, if not the best game I've ever seen Patrick Mahomes play, and I'm almost curious if part of that is what's it like injury, still lingering. You know, stayed in the pocket a lot more than usual. But the Chiefs were just a monotonous machine, right? They just, it, like, play after play, you just couldn't stop them. You know, he made the right reads. He managed the game perfectly. He let his receiver do their jobs. He did his job. He made no mistakes whatsoever. This was Patrick Mahomes at his very, very finest. You know, it illustrates to me that even when he isn't, you know, the ridiculous play, get out of the pocket, throw 40 yards across your body, he's still an elite quarterback. And the Chiefs, you know, any fears we might have had about the Chiefs not being able to run long drives or red zone efficiency or whatever, or close games during the season, right? Totally assuaged at this point. I mean, this game was just total domination offensively from the Chiefs, from Eric Bieniemy, from Andy Reid for four straight quarters.
Yeah, and once again, the Bills decided that running the ball is stupid. Josh Allen is really, really good. I don't want to take anything away from him. But there are very few quarterbacks in NFL history that you can have be the only.
I mean, they had Stephon Diggs, though.
Who's totally relying on Josh Allen. I'm saying, like, not having a solid running game makes
your job
so much harder as a quarterback. Because the Bills' running game just, at least in my opinion, doesn't pose enough of a threat for opposing teams.
I mean, is that true of the Chiefs as well, though?
Yes, but I think we talked about it. We talked about how the team with the better running game would probably win, and the Chiefs' running game did not play great. This win is probably the offensive credit is like 90% and the wide receivers, but they outperformed the Bills. So that just makes it that much easier for Mahomes. And I'm not even talking specifically about this game. I'm just talking about over the season. Buffalo has to improve.
They really do. And, you know, I'm a proponent of maybe a little old school of running game. I think ultimately an offense is more balanced than you usually see in the NFL today. It kind of hurts me that the four teams that made the conference championships were all very pass-heavy attacks. And I think we're going to continue to see that as years go by. But I love traditional running games. You know, I think passing is more important, but it's still really important for me to have a strong running game. And to not see that anymore is a little concerning.
Yep. So those were the conference championships games. Now let's actually get on
to
the Super Bowl. This is only the second time that Tom Brady has been the underdog in the Super Bowl. Fun fact. The last time was, his first Super Bowl. Which was against the Rams, which he ended up winning. That was one of the Gostkowski kicks. Mahomes Brady.
I can help you out there. In my opinion, I feel like it's either going to be a pretty decent gap from the Chiefs or the Buccaneers, or it's going to be like an extremely, extremely tight game.
Kobe.
I can't really see the Buccaneers getting too much of a lead and a momentum here.
Oh my God, friend! Okay, did you think you were saying that it's gonna either be a blowout by either team or the
not what I was saying.
Yes,
me as well.
Because you were like, there's either going to be a big gap between the Chiefs.
Oh yeah,
Buccaneers,
my bad. I should have stated that I thought it was going to be the Chiefs.
I strongly disagree with that statement.
But,
I feel like the Buccaneers defense is better than the Chiefs, and I feel like they have like around equal offenses, so I don't see how you can't see a blowout either side, because if the Buccaneers is like on the 100% best, I can see a blowout in the Buccaneers' favor.
Now, I don't know. I personally think that the Chiefs' offense is a lot better than the Bucks.
I
agree that is a lot better, Colby. But, I mean, look at the first half of the conference championship game versus Green Bay.
Yeah.
The Buccaneers were putting up points. Brady was playing great. I think I'm with Max here. I think that the Bucks have a smaller potential for a blowout. But I think they still have
I just don't see it.
I can see it.
I don't see a way that, given what we saw last week with that ability to drive down the field from the Chiefs, I don't see there's a way that the Bucs are going to pull ahead sufficiently to stop either long drives or the huge plays the Chiefs can pull out of their pocket for a blowout. I can certainly see them win the game. I don't think it's going to happen necessarily, but I can see a tight victory for the Buccaneers. Kind of a reversal of what we saw last time these teams played, but I really cannot see a blowout in Bucs' favor.
But this is the problem. I feel like if Chris Godwin or Mike Evans play good, then it's going to be a blowout. Because the thing is, the Chiefs don't really have an amazing secondary. They don't have like a true lockdown like Jair, Ramsey. I feel like the 1A and 1B with Godwin and Evans might overwhelm the Chiefs.
But, Max, I need to ask you an important question.
What?
Do the Buccaneers have a good secondary either?
But, I mean, they have a really good pass rush. They have a really good pass rush.
Well, for some reason, Mahomes actually plays better when he's pressured in the pocket.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's surprising that. I think usually when it's pressure, it's on a blitz. If it's on a blitz, you're at one safety, and you just get burned by speed. But
plus, we know that Mahomes is one of the best at extending plays.
How you going?
I'll be honest with you guys. I haven't made up my mind on it yet. The Chiefs look so good, but it's so hard for me to say that Tom Brady's going to lose.
That is hard.
Yeah. For me, like, what are your guys' keys to this game? Like, what part of each team do you think is the most important for their victory?
Chiefs
or loss.
Chiefs is shutting down the Bucs offense, like forcing Brady into bad throws and just overwhelming him. Because I feel like if that happens, if the Bucs offense doesn't play like elite, there's no way they win this game.
Yeah. The Chiefs have, I think that the Chiefs have a more talented treat team. I just think they do. So because of that, I think that the Chiefs can make a few more mistakes. Obviously not crucial mistakes. Like, I'm not saying that Mahomes can come out here throwing three interceptions, but
the three meaningful interceptions, yeah. Not like,
yeah, if it's like one of those Brady interceptions from last week, that that's a punt. It's a punt down early.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Wow, this is really hard. Keys to the game. I think that the Bucs need to have their running game come in. Aren't the Chiefs missing quite a few? Yeah, the Chiefs are missing a lot.
They are, yes. That was gonna be my point, but I'll you continue.
My bad. And like Max was saying, the Bucs have a really good pass rush, and as well as Mahomes plays under pressure, like Ethan was saying, if you can get pressure without blitzing, that is massive. That is should be self-explanatory. But you know, just getting the Chiefs out of their comfort zone and making them play a game that they don't want to play.
Okay. Yeah. So for me, the
Chiefs showed the ability last week to do some drives, like Ethan was. I think that if the Bucs can slow this game down, they have a better chance at winning.
Brian, you're cutting pretty hard for me.
Yeah, I think you're cutting for me too. I couldn't really hear anything.
Oh, was I? Oh, okay. I was saying that the Bucs' running game needs to be good, and that getting pressure on Mahomes is big because getting the Chiefs out of their comfort zone.
Yeah.
And slowing the game down, I think, is the key for the Bucs. Because even the Chiefs showed an ability to sustain drives last week, I think that the Bucs might not be better at it, but
yeah.
I think the Chiefs are definitely better at it.
Brian, you just touched on it a little bit, but for me, the biggest weakness for the Chiefs, the line against the Buccaneers pass rush, I think they need to not you have too much pressure, you know. With Mahomes, you have more leeway for giving up pressure from a lineman because he can get out of that. He can find the open man, right? But they need to avoid being constantly pressured every single play. That being said, even if the Buccaneers are able to do that, I think this Chiefs offense is strong enough, and I think judging from what we've seen in the conference championships with the Bucs offense and the Chiefs defense. My hot take this game, Chiefs by 20. And I'm willing to bet on that.
Wow. All right.
I'm going Bucs.
I think I'm going to go Bucs.
Bucs just because I can't pick against Brady in this situation.
Yeah, I understand that. I'm going Chiefs, and I'm going to say Chiefs probably by, like, 14.
Yeah, let's do scores. I'm going to go Bucs by 4.
I'll go Chiefs 41, next. Buccaneers 20.
Yeah, no, just say the differential.
I'm taking Bucs right by 10.
All right.
Here. I got one last comment for you, real quick.
Comments on the Super Bowl.
Just going back to what you were saying about, you know, putting the Chiefs out of their comfort zone and really making them play a game that they don't want to play. I think, obviously, this is, well, I think that obviously the Bucks defense is really going to have to bring it. And I think if they can do what they kind of did in the conference championship and really try to hold back that Chiefs offense, similar to how they did the Packers, I think that is going to be crucial if they can do that to them winning it, if they're going to win it.
Yeah. All right. So let's move on to just some football news that we decided we wanted to talk about. Carson Wentz. There are a lot of reports saying that teams are asking around Wentz. The three main teams that I've heard, feel free to add on after I finish saying them, are the Bears, the Colts, and the Patriots.
I don't know about you.
I know I heard the Colts, but I forgot all the other teams.
I hear Colts, Bears, and I think I maybe heard Carolina.
Yeah, I think any team needing a quarterback is going to be in that talk.
Yeah.
I think his value is at least a mid first round pick.
You know, I mean, I'm not a GM. In fact, I'm a kid sitting on his butt talking about sports with his friends. But if I'm a GM, I'm not valuing Carson Wentz anything. Shut up, I don't want him. I don't want him unless I can get him for free and a whole bunch of money.
Ethan, you were.
Here's the thing. He's one season removed from having 4,000 yards.
That's true,
yards
but I mean, he was gun-shy, and that's quite hard to get over, you know? He played really poorly last week, and unless you have a team that can fix that somehow, maybe the Colts, we'll see. I just can't see him improve back to where he was. And even if he does, that's such a risk to take on that contract for that chance he improves back to where he was that – I'm not doing it.
Dude, but you're taking the
– Yeah, I would say his value is somewhere between the second and first round pick. Because, well, okay, Stafford is a much better QB than Wentz. And the Rams gave up two firsts and a third to both get Stafford and get off of Goff's contract. So I think –
Brian, I think that's the most dumb thing you ever said. A second for Wentz.
He's what value?
Yes. Max, has this contract extension started yet?
And for Wentz, at minimum, if I'm the Eagles, I'm not taking anything less than a mid first.
Okay, well, Max, let's say that the Eagles can't trade him. What are they going to do, right? Because you have a guy making how much money is he making a year?
Like 34.
Yeah. You have a guy making $30 million a year sitting on your bench.
Dude, he's going to start this year. He's going to come out guns blazing.
But here's the thing. If we start Wentz, then we are wasting best years of Hurts' career for us. Not the best year of his career.
Unless we're getting a mid first in some other assets or draft capital, I'm not trading Wentz. I'm trading Hurts. Hurts has no promise in my opinion.
What?
Hurts has no. The only game where he played actually good was where he had no film again. The team had no film. He didn't play good the other games.
Yeah, I was gonna say
Wentz has the MVP potential. He has the QB1 potential. I'm taking that MVP top 10 potential over.
I was going to
say. How many years ago was that?
He had the MVP year, and then he also had the year where he threw 4,000 yards with practice squad receivers. I'm taking that.
Two years ago
was his practice squad. His only bad years was his rookie year and this year.
Can I explain to me how Carson gets back to where he was.
Didn't he have another between them?
I think he can. That's why his value is first round pick.
What is he going to improve? What can he tangibly improve over the offseason that will bring him back to where he was?
His footwork, his decision making, getting new receivers would be a huge part, and just feeling like you're appreciated between an organization. Because Wentz proved himself to be the starter, then Foles is gone, then the draft hurts. That sends a message to you.
Yeah.
Okay, but the fact that he lost confidence after that shows that he doesn't have the confidence of an MVP level player.
You can't say it. You never he doesn't did. Have the confidence if he's been an MVP level player.
I think that his confidence was ruined after Nick
Foles. I think it was, but I'm sorry to interrupt you guys here. But I think, I don't know, I feel like the Eagles, if we draft right, and just our moves that we've made over the offseason, it seems like we're pretty committed to trying to build his confidence back up. Now, whether we succeed or not, I can't tell. I'm not a future predictor. But I feel that if we really, if the Eagles organization really puts the time to get Carson Wentz's confidence back, I err on more of a Max's side, saying give him one more year with a very tight leash.
In my opinion,
give him one more year to try to do something. I mean, he has one bad year. He can put the work in over the offseason, see what he does next year, and then make our move on him.
Kobe, that is not what I said at all. In my opinion, if you keep Wentz unless you get a good offer, I would be all for shipping Wentz if there's a good offer on the table. But in my opinion, if you're not getting actual assets, there's no way we're shipping Wentz. And
you know what? I agree with you. I think the Eagles should keep Wentz on your team for as many years as you can. Actually,
when he returns to MVP level, you'll be thanking me.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I agree with you a lot. Anyway, but I think keeping Wentz is the same risk as it is for teams trying to get him, right? Whether your team getting him, giving up assets to get a guy on a huge contract who most likely will not get back to where he was, is very similar in my eyes to keeping a guy with a large contract who may not get back to where he was. It's a risk for the Eagles organization. Now, if that's what you guys want to take, I don't know. But me personally, I'm not doing that. I'm getting rid of that potential for disaster as soon as I can.
No, look.
I think that the odds are just as high, if not higher, that he never returns back to form and is more like his 2020 self than any other version of himself than it is that he returns back to 2017 form. I think that it is, that once a quarterback loses their confidence, it is incredibly difficult for them to get back.
A change of scenery helps a lot. Look at Marco Fultz in the NBA. He forgot how to shoot, and then he was playing like a very good player this season on the Magic before getting injured. So therefore, I think a change of scenery is probably the best, but I'm not making that change of scenery happen unless we get actual assets.
Well, that's comparing two different players with...
Change of scenery helps. Change of scenery helps.
Yes.
Well, yeah, a change of scenery might help, but just try, you know, one organization maybe getting some new receivers. I mean, maybe, but this many years into his career, having now developed this lack of confidence that he has, I just don't see it.
No, but look. But like, also, isn't the confidence? If some team trades a first round pick for him, doesn't that give Wentz some confidence that some team believes in him?
It should, but what's going to happen the first time he has a bad game for that team and the fans start turning on him?
They don't expect to get MVP. I'm pretty sure they don't.
If you trade a first round pick for a QB that's coming off a bad season, the fans aren't going to be happy in the first place. So he has to play well, or else they will turn on him immediately. Let's say that we traded a first round pick for Jared Goff. Would you be okay with him playing poorly?
I wouldn't be like hating on him after one game.
First round pick for a guy with a massive contract.
Didn't
play that good.
I'm giving him.
If he's not playing that good, we just wasted the first round pick and a bunch of money.
I would give him four games to see how he plays, because one game doesn't say everything.
There is no fan base on planet Earth that would give a quarterback like that four games to prove himself.
Oh, I would.
Yeah.
Well, you're not a representative of a fan base. You're one person.
All right, but anyway. Does anyone have any final comments about Wentz? Because I'm pretty sure everyone's clear on their side.
Yeah, I just want to
get if we on that. If we can get something good for him, I say we do it. But if not,
Kobe, what's good?
No,
Brian's a Wednesday hater. Brian doesn't appreciate.
I mean, I think Brian's just erring on more of a higher probability side. I mean, it is a higher probability that Wentz does not get back to where he came
from. If I look at my odds, I'm taking the odds because the Eagles are rebuilding, so they're not going to be signing a massive free agent or spending a lot of money.
Nope, they can't. Because Wentz has such a massive contract.
They traded $34 million in dead cap this year. And then it goes away. Yes. And then what are they going to do with that money?
Rebuild?
Yeah.
You can't get better without having money to sign people.
No, you really don't. At this point of our rebuild, at the start of our rebuild, if we trade Wentz, we don't need that much money.
But we can't simultaneously be a few pieces away from contention and one trade away from.
I think trading Wentz, if we trade Wentz, we're blowing it up. And that's what's going to. I mean, it all depends on Hurts' plays, too.
Look, the Eagles will not be good next year, regardless of who is starting. I disagree on that statement. I feel relatively confident.
I'd say there's a chance that we play good.
Dude, there's a chance.
Chance we could win the NFC East.
I don't know. That's what the Wizards play with. That's, but it's not going to happen. I couldn't think of an NFL team. There's a chance.
Especially
the Lions
not
play
after
with,
Stafford.
That's not going to happen. Exactly. That's the thing. I just look because we're losing our starting center, who's arguably the best center in the league. We're losing arguably our best receiver in Ertz. He was hurt last year, but I just don't see this team being that good. I think that too many of the key pieces from our Super Bowl run and are aging now, and we weren't good last year. We played in a bad division, so. But I don't think we were good last year. I don't think that we're going to get much better this year. They could knock it out of the park with this draft class and change my mind. But
all right.
I don't see us doing much. Honestly, I have no idea who's going to win the NFC.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, returning to that point about a fan base not giving a quarterback like that 4 games, if I'm as a Washington fan, right, if I were to trade a first-round pick for Carson Wentz as to be a quarterback, and he played poorly for 2 games, I wouldn't give him the light of day.
Look at Kirk Cousins. Vikings fans hate him, and he hasn't even played that poorly.
He's played well, actually. I mean, he's been a very serviceable quarterback for the Vikings, and they don't like him because if you have a big contract and you get traded for or whatever, right, and you come to that team, people expect you to play really well. People expect to win games. If those aren't happening, fan base doesn't care.
Yeah. Fan bases are based purely on results.
Couldn't have said it any better.
Yeah. And especially, let's say that he goes to the Bears. They need an upgrade from Trubisky right now, or else Bears fans may riot. So, if Wentz does not play significantly better than Trubisky, Bears fans will riot. They'll just see it as another idiot mistake by the front office, and they'll get upset. Patriots, because I have seen them in reports. Honestly, I have no idea how Patriots fans will react.
No, I think they won't. They won't care.
Yeah, Patriots fans only come out when they're in the Super Bowl.
Patriots fans won't care. Period. Yeah. And then Colts fans, I think, are the ones that would give him the biggest rein or biggest leash. But even that, I'm not sure, because I feel like Colts fans know that they're potentially a quarterback away from being Super Bowl contenders. So if this isn't their quarterback, then...
Yeah, I mean, I think Colts fans will have more initial leniency, but like every franchise, if Carson Wentz doesn't play well, if he doesn't come out there and play like a Pro Bowl-level quarterback, they'll turn on him in 5 games. Because that's what happens when you don't produce results in the NFL. That's what happens when you have a big contract and you get traded for a first round pick and don't play well. Shut down.
So, unless anyone has anything else to say.
I do, actually. Yeah, I'm sorry. So, I'm on Football Reference right now, just, you know, looking through stats and stuff as we're talking. Perfect. And Mitchell Trubisky, I went to his profile. He has two awards listed. One Pro Bowl and a 2021 MVP. They do.
No way they actually put that.
It is in orange. It is.
Wait. Did the Bears playoffs this
it
year?
It says Nickelodeon Valuable Player is an award listed on Mr. Trubisky's Pro Football Reference profile.
Oh, my God. You're right. Wow.
I forgot that the Bears made the playoffs.
All to look it up. It's hilarious.
You did?
I picked them to win.
That's right, you did do that, yes.
The world may never know.
Was I drunk during that podcast? Oh, they have it. They have it. They have the Nickelodeon Valuable Player thing. That's incredible. I'm going to go find the other Adrian Peterson real quick. Someone come up with a random question for us to answer. That thing.
I guys think that
God, you're
the Saints quarterback position. Thoughts? Go.
Don't
agree.
Do
Taysom. I don't think Taysom Hill is a very good quarterback. I mean, it's pretty simple. Go with Winston, and you're fine. This team has everything it needs to do. It needs to be a Super Bowl contender. It just needs to get lucky, frankly.
Yes, and I think that Winston might actually add the correct dimension to their offense that they need. If you are going to stick with Winston, though, I think that you need to specifically get a receiver that is more of a deep threat than the ones they have now.
Michael Thomas will work if they work on Winston's ability to throw it short, to the defense is better. You can still maximize Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas, but if you don't add a deep threat, you don't really take advantage of his full skill set.
If you don't add a deep threat, you're just going to be the same old Saints, but you're going to be worse because Winston will make more mistakes than Breeze. So I feel like that if you're going to switch from Breeze to Winston, you need to take advantage of the added dimension that Winston can give you.
Yeah. Yeah. statements.
But yeah, I mean,
glad agreement.
The defense remains the same. The offense remains the same. They add a deep threat. They add some players. And, you know, with Winston, this team is still, at very worst, a 12-4 team, and at best, a Super Bowl contender.
Wow, you think at worst, 12-4? Well,
not at worst. I think it's reasonable to expect 12-4.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think at worst, they're more like a
10-win team. At worst, they're a playoff team.
Winston will now throw 10 picks in the first two games, too. Wrong. So if that's all we have,
it's not actually
Bring the Heat podcast.
We're in question.
Oh my god, dude! Can you like interrupt me after I say if that's all, and not when I'm in the middle of the ending? So just
sorry.
Go ahead and say your
this
thing,
week
I guess.
Is the first week we are doing questions from fans.
I got it. It was our reaction to the Atlanta Braves article saying that they should change their name. So
that's it. Yes.
Yes, that one. I read that article so long ago. I don't remember a ton of it.
I think pretty simple concept, though, right? I mean, should the Braves?
Yeah, but like my whole thing is, obviously. Talk to the minority of the group that's being affected and ask them what they want. I think that if it's, I don't know how to say this. Let's say like if white people are the ones specifically asking for and being offended by, I don't think it is as big of a deal. My opinion personally is to still change it.
I could see either here. I'll let you go. Ethan.
But
okay. Well, so I could see either way. I mean, it's Atlanta, so it doesn't really affect me as directly as, like, the Redskins or the Washington football team. I'm sorry. But I don't know. I mean, I feel like when they named that team, and this is just my opinion, when they named the team the Braves, they named them the Braves because they thought that what the people that they were describing were fierce and, you know, formidable. And, like, I don't know. I feel like with all this stuff about changing the team's names, I feel like, I don't know, it kind of deludes from that fact that they named them because of that kind of respect almost for them. And this is just, that's just my opinion. But I feel like they can change it, and I would be totally fine with that. I can see both sides, but I just wanted to be able to point out the other side of that.
Yeah. And as you're saying, my thing is, though, you can mean something as a compliment, and it can still be offensive. That's why, like, I'm trying to find the article right now. I wanted to see if they have any, you know, like, Native Americans weighing in on the subject. I mean, Ethan, look, you go.
It doesn't matter to me whether they named it out of respect, out of a deep hatred, out of an indifference, out of a needing a name. The fact remains that it's a team whose mascot, right, is a person, right? It's a specific group of people that are being portrayed as a mascot, right? And now, this is different from a Viking. A Viking is, you know, a person who lived, you know, 500 years ago in Scandinavia. That's extremely different than a group of indigenous people who are alive today, who have been done very, 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 very awful things by white colonizers. This name needs to change unless there is significant opinions of the contrary among local native populations.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not here.
Max. Oh, he left. Okay. Oops. Gotta check that. Yeah. So, thank you to the viewer for God, I can't think submitting that question. If you have a question and you're listening,
or just if you have Instagram, you can DM us on Instagram, or if you like know us personally, just send us like a text.
Right.
Yes.
The Instagram is, one sec. I think it's just Bring the Heat Podcast. I'm just double checking. It is bring.the.heat.podcast. And I shall see if I can find the Gmail address. Ethan, cover me right now. Okay.
Preferably send it to DM us on Instagram or text us if that's an option for you. If not, you can send it to our business email, which, you know, we'll see if we get around to. We aren't the most active in checking it, admittedly. We're sorry about that. But if you really want your question answered, the best way to do it is to follow us on Instagram at Bring the Heat Podcast Official, I believe.
Yeah. I think if you search Bring the Heat Podcast in the search bar, we'll come up anyway.
Podcast. And then I did.
The logo is the same as.
It's just.
Yeah. The logo is the same as our Spotify playlist. Our podcast, excuse me. If you DM us on Instagram, we will see it. We will respond to you if you are chosen. If you want your name to be included with your question on our podcast, just say so. We'd be happy to. We'd also be happy to make it anonymous.
That should be it. So this is the Bring the Heat Podcast, signing off.